Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Pastors and churches all over the country must speak up at this critical time of our election. The future of America is literally hanging in the balance. We're going to be talking about what pastors and churches can do with regards to political activity. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Matt, this upcoming election is, you know, we always say it's the most important election, but really I think this one is the most important election. Each one of these elections in the past couple of cycles have been critical to our future. The 2008 election, the 2012 election, and you see how much damage has been done, at least at the national head of the ticket with regards to President Barack Obama. Now we're facing another 4 years of decision which way the country is going to go, not just at the presidential level, but at Congress's level, at the state legislative levels, at the governor level of all the different states, at the local level as well. These are critical times in America, and frankly, the identity, the future, the heart and soul of America is hanging in the balance.
Yeah, there's a, as you know, Matt, a toothless law on the books since 54, the Johnson Amendment, which presumes to muzzle, intimidate and try to muzzle pastors from the pulpit. And this this Johnson Amendment has been at the forefront in this election, with certainly with one candidate supporting it because, you know, wanting pastors muzzled, and another candidate pledging to have it repealed. But the Johnson Amendment, first of all, for being out of context, even if the Johnson Amendment is followed, pastors don't, it's a misnomer out there. It's a disinformation. They can talk about these cultural issues, these political issues. They can even talk about where the candidates stand on these important issues. If voting, voter guides, there are a number of things that even if the Johnson Amendment were legal, that pastors could do, correct?
No question about it. You know, if frankly, if pastors are not going to address issues in the culture, things that are happening in your community, in our country, then what are they going to speak about? Because the gospel affects everything. You're really truncating the gospel. And certainly, you know, salvation in relationship with Christ is essential. No question about that. But that also is transformative. It transforms the individual. It breaks the shackles, relieves you from that oppression, gives sight to the blind.
Right.
It heals broken hearts. And when that happens, you have a transformation internally, and it has to transform how you view the world. It has to transform your community. So if you are ignoring the cultural issues, you're really ignoring the impact of the gospel and its impact on everything that we observe and all the things that we experience.
You know, all these issues that we talk about that take place in the courtrooms, they need to start in the church. You know, and the pastors have a responsibility. They can't use this excuse, oh, we can't combine church and state and blah, 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 blah. They've got to be addressing these issues and get, like you said, get to the heart of the people and let them see the biblical issues so that when they go to the polls, and hopefully they encourage them or even take them to the polls, they will vote for the judges that will vote according to biblical issues, the candidates and all that. There is a biblical responsibility on their shoulders.
You know, one of the things I have observed, and I was talking to Cindy Matthews in our office as well regarding this, and this is what we're seeing with our youth, and we're seeing it through our ministry called Covenant Journey, where we're taking Christian college students who are leaders or have leadership potential to Israel on a 10-day experience. And we're immersing them into the land of the Bible, connecting them to the roots of their faith, giving them the historical and biblical background. They can actually see, taste, and touch the reality of their faith. And one of the things that has become very clear is that they're not being taught how to connect the dots in churches. It is a life-changing experience. They are literally learning things that they've never been taught. And that should begin in the church. And the church should affect and address the culture. And as you said, Matt, This so-called Johnson Amendment, 1954, says that nonprofit organizations, which will include churches, those entities that are tax-exempt and contributions are tax-deductible, it says that you cannot endorse or oppose a candidate for office. Well, that was brought in by then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson, who wanted to get revenge against a nonprofit organization that opposed his candidacy for Senate. He then became later the President of the United States. But the fact is, not one church, not one, has ever lost its tax-exempt status for engaging in endorsing or opposing a candidate for office from 1954 to the present. And before that, 1934, there was a restriction regarding how much activity you can devote towards lobbying for or against legislation. Not one church, again, has ever lost its tax-exempt status for supporting or opposing local, state, or federal legislation. So even though those provisions are there, Matt, they're like paper tigers. They're like the Wizard of Oz. They have a big appearance.
A booming voice.
People that want to silence you try to use it to intimidate you, but at the end of the day, they have no teeth.
Well, that's right. I've often said, Matt, that churches are—they're not really tax exempt. They're not required to receive a letter of tax exemption, but from the IRS, a handful of churches do. But it's redundant. It's superfluous to do so because churches are inherently tax exempt. It's more right. more appropriate to really to call them tax immune, because even the one church that it did not lose its letter. It's tax exemption. It's actual inherent tax immunity. It's tax exemption. But for a day or so, the IRS took its letter of tax exemption, which was meaningless. It didn't mean anything. What church was that? What were the
circumstances behind that? That was the church at Pierce Creek in Binghamton, New York. And they took out full-page ads in the USA Today and Washington Times, then opposing Governor Bill Clinton for president in 1992. Of course, he did win, and they clearly crossed the line, no doubt about that. They actually opposed a candidate. They spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars in doing so. They put their name there. They asked for more contributions to run more ads. I mean, they were pretty bold about it. They actually really wanted to pick a fight with the IRS. Now, this church had voluntarily obtained a letter. And I think, Matt, that's a critical issue here. Nonprofits that are not churches that want to be tax exempt and have tax deductibility have to obtain a letter, permission. You have to ask the IRS and then get granted the permission. If the IRS changes its mind because you do a violation and they take the letter, you lose your tax-exempt status, and then you have to apply and beg again. Churches, however, under the IRS code, are automatically immune from that. They're exempt. At the moment of creation, conception, if you will, they're automatically tax-exempt. So if they were to commit a clear violation, as in this case, where the church did in New York, but the next day the sun rose and they didn't run any full-page ads and they didn't do any endorsement, then it's like they were just born again, if you will, recreated anew, because they don't need IRS's letter.
So even while it's, because this is the one that the church at Pierce Creek, this is the one that these anti-Christian organizations like People for the American Way and Americans United for Separation of Church and State, they use this as the big boogeyman example of, oh, you can be punished like the church
boots.
At Pierce Creek. It's the one example where a letter was taken for a day, but even while the letter was taken, the church's tax exemption remained in place by virtue of it being a church. Again, the letter was completely unnecessary. It wasn't worth the paper it was written on. You could line your bird cage with it, just like I often suggest that pastors who receive these letters from Barry Lynn and Americans United saying, no, you cannot engage in politics from the pulpit. You could lose your tax exemption. Nonsense. Not a single church has ever lost its tax exemption. If you receive one of those letters from the ACLU or Americans United, those big, scary, intimidating letters, you know, use it as paper for your puppy or to line your bird cage or whatever. We don't want to waste it, but that's all it's worth.
You know, I would love for people after hearing this program to go on our website, look at Matt's video that he's produced, share it with your pastor, with your church leaders, and tell them, hey, don't be shuddering your boots when you get up there in the pulpit, but speak the truth to us. We need to hear it because we need to vote appropriately, and it's your God-given responsibility.
You can go to lc.org, and we have the video called Silence is Not an Option. It's a longer video, about 27 minutes, 28 minutes or so. and it goes through a lot of detail. However, we also have about a 2 to 3 minute video that gives you the synopsis. You know, attorneys can actually speak in 2 to 3 minutes when they actually are required
right.
to.
Right. Yeah. On our Facebook,
but
too.
You can get the short yeah. version or you can get the long version. Bottom line is this. If your pastor, your church is not speaking out on these issues, don't blame it on the IRS or this boogeyman. There's other issues that have to be dealt with, and all of us will be held accountable for our silence. Now is not the time to remain silent. Silence is not an option. Visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.